been good to Loomis Park Baptist Church, hasn't he? When my preacher friends will ask me, and many times I'll talk to a different preacher or two during the week, and they'll say, "How's the church going? How's the church doing?" And honestly, in my heart, I rejoice in God's blessing to our church. I think of our attendance, and of course, obviously, I'd like to see more people here. Amen, amen, amen. I know you would too. Amen. But I realize that Christ builds His church. Christ builds His church. I think about our additions, that families that God has brought to us, and some of you haven't quite joined yet, but you're on the hook. Amen. I think of God's goodness in that. I think of our offerings, and again, I just praise God for our offerings and your faithfulness in giving. Listen, I know churches with 2 and 3 times our attendance that have about half our offerings. And boy, just good, and I thank God for it. Amen. I thank God for our missions giving. People ask me, said, "You know, what's it like in Jackson, Michigan?" I said, "Well, the 3 biggest employers are this: Consumers Power, Allegiance Hospital, and the prisons." Amen. And I said, "There's not a lot of jobs in Jackson, and yet we took on 7 new missionaries last week." Amen, folks. God is good. Amen. When I think about our involvement as a church, when I think about your involvement, Pastor Donald was going down through the camp out and just listing people. Hey, listen, I recalculated the math from Vacation Bible School. We had over 100 people from this church involved in one way or another in Vacation Bible School. Glory to God. Amen. When I think, I know preachers and churches that struggle, they put out the call just like we do, and they get 4 people. I thank God for your involvement. I thank God for our spirit. The spirit of Loomis Park Baptist Church is an encouraging spirit. You come in, and listen, we've got guests here, and guests have told me, "What a friendly church you have, Pastor." I said, "It's good, because then when I get up there and preach, that's when the fire comes out of my mouth." So we've got to be friendly, amen, because otherwise you'd never come back, amen. No, but listen, I believe in friendly church. I believe in that. And by the way, it's hard to be friendly. Come on, this is preaching time now. It's hard to be friendly if we're not in love one with another. You may be able to fake it for a little while, but it'll rise up, and it does, amen. And so I thank God for what He's doing in our church. The Apostle Paul tells of the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church often. The Apostle Paul told us it's typified by the marriage relationship. If you read Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about it. But Paul said, for husbands, he said, "Husbands, love your wives." And all the wives said? Amen. And all the wives said? Amen. Man, I give you a chance, ladies. Come on, amen. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." You know what the Apostle Paul would say in Acts chapter 28? He was talking to the pastors in the area of Ephesus. He said, "Take heed over the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the flock of God which He hath purchased with His own blood." How much does Jesus love His church? He loved it enough to shed His blood for the church. And so He loves the church. He gave Himself for the church. He purchased the church. Amen. I think about that in that relationship there in Matthew, in Ephesians chapter 5. The key verse in Revelation, if you've ever studied Revelation, it's a tremendous book of the Bible. We just finished in my Sunday school class, the Berean class, meets down in the Fellowship Hall. We just finished our 46th of 50 lessons in Revelation. The key verse of Revelation is Revelation 1:19. It's probably over just a page for you. And it is the division of Revelation. It says, "Write the things which thou hast seen." That's chapter 1 of Revelation. And then it says, "And the things which are," that's chapters 2 and 3, typified by the 7 churches of Revelation, which represent the church age that we are now living in. And then it says, in verse 19 at the end, "And the things which shall be hereafter." I believe that's Revelation 4:1 on to the end. Revelation 4:1, you have the angel that says, "Come up hither," and I believe that's when the church goes on up, hallelujah, to be judged by Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then to return in chapter 19. And you will not find the church mentioned from chapter 4, verse 1, to chapter 19, verse 11, until we're riding on white horses coming back. Amen. And we see that there. We see in Revelation. We see in Revelation 2 and 3, these seven churches, actual, physical, literal churches. The church at Ephesus is what we read about. Church at Ephesus has a very unique distinction of being the only church to have two epistles or letters written by two different apostles. The Apostle Paul wrote us the book of Ephesians, and the Apostle John wrote the seven verses right here, this little letter. And that church at Ephesus, and then we look at the church at Smyrna, and the church at Pergamos, and the church at Thyatira, and the church at Sardis, and the church at Philadelphia, and the church at Laodicea, the churches of Asia, Asia Minor. Today it would be modern day Turkey. We look at that, and we see these actual, literal, thriving, physical churches that we read about, that Jesus Christ is writing to here through the Apostle John. And they existed, amen? They're not just by and by. They're not just fables. They actually existed. But today, they don't exist. Many of you know I'm a big baseball fan. I'm a big fan of baseball history. I'm a student of baseball history. I have been ever since I was a little guy. My parents took me to the Baseball Hall of Fame, which, by the way, Lord willing, we're going to do a church trip out there next year. For I know many of you like baseball. We'll do that, amen, for 3 days. But do you know, let me give you just a few addresses here. Do you know what 55 Sullivan Place in Brooklyn, New York, 157th Street and Edgecombe Avenue in New York, North 21st Street and West Lehigh Avenue in Philadelphia, Finley Street and Western Avenue in Cincinnati, Ohio, and 2121 Trumbull Street in Detroit, Michigan all have in common? There used to be a baseball park there. And now it's gone. Ebbets Field was in Brooklyn, built the year after Fenway Park, 1913. The Polo Grounds was in New York, that big horseshoe shape. What a pleasure that was to hit in if you were a pull hitter. Not so much if you hit down to dead center. It's about 257 down the line and 483 to dead center. Amen, boy. Then there was Crosley Field in Cincinnati. There was Scheib Park in Philadelphia. And there was Tiger Stadium, which is now a parking lot. Amen. There used to be a ballpark there that people went to. Do you know in America, every year in America, 4,000 churches close their doors. And 1,000 start up. And thank God for that. Thank God there are still churches, hey, going out to Boston and Plymouth and all that and starting. But you know what, folks, that statistic is not good. 1,000 are starting and 4,000 are closing. That means in America, 3,000 churches a year go out of business. Why is that? Why? I want you to look at your Bibles there. You're in Revelation chapter 1. I want you to see something, if you would. Look with me in verses 12 through 16 of chapter 1. Here we see the glorified Christ, and that's what Revelation really is. It's Him being revealed. In verse 12, it says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw," what's the next words there, church? "Seven golden candlesticks." Now, sometimes in the Bible, there's, especially in Revelation, a lot of symbolological phrases. This one, Jesus takes time to explain it. And then you go down, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, I saw one like unto the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about with paps, and a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and they burned in the furnace, and his voice is as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. So we see seven golden candlesticks and seven stars. Pastor, what are those? Thankfully, the Bible explains it to us. If you jump down to verse 20 in Revelation 1, Jesus says here, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. That word is angelos. It means messenger. It doesn't mean a winged messenger necessarily, but a messenger. I'm telling you, and I believe what this is talking about is the pastors of these seven churches. The men that gave the message of the Word of God. I'm going to go home and tell my wife, "You're married to an angel." And she'll say, "Yeah, a fallen one." Amen. Yeah. She knows her Bible a little too well. Amen. But then it says in verse 20, "And the seven stars are the angels of seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." So the seven stars are the pastors. The seven candlesticks are the churches themselves. Go over to Revelation chapter 2 in our text. And I'm building to a point here. And I'm going to give you the points real quick, but I want you to see this. Revelation chapter 2 in verse number 5. Remember, Jesus has a lot of good things to say about this church at Ephesus in verses 2 and 3. But then he says in verse 4, "You've left your first love." And then he gives them his advice, his counsel, his commands. Amen. He says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen," and what's that next word, church? Not a popular word. Not a popular word. Still a Bible word. But then look at this. It says, "And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place." What did Jesus say the candlestick was? The church. Why do 3,000 churches a year close, Pastor? Can I give you the reason why, I believe? They get disinterested in what God is interested in. And they lose the blessing of God. And when the blessing of God and the Spirit of God departs, all we are is a shell, just waiting to die. Hey, think about your body. You know what happens when the Spirit departs? The body dies. When the Spirit departs, as it did for Brother Hodson this week, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and he is more alive than he's ever been, Miss Sarah, and he's not in any pain, but his body is dead. I'll tell you why 3,000 churches a year close, because they're dead. Because they're not interested in reaching people for Christ. They're not interested in doing what Jesus said. And so here's my thought. The thought of the message is this. There used to be a church here. How many of you know a place where there was once a church thriving and there is no church there today? Raise your hand. Look around you, folks. Listen, where I went to Bible college, Emmanuel Baptist Church, one of the great churches in Michigan in the 20th century, along with Temple Baptist of Detroit, which is also gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It's just buildings, Mrs. Harmon. Just buildings. Decrepit, decaying buildings. I remember being in there and it was thriving. People being saved, people being baptized, amen. People being reached for Christ, people growing in grace, making decisions at old-fashioned altars. And today, I could take my boys there and say, "You know what, boys? There used to be a church right here." The greatest fear as I have as a pastor, I mean the greatest fear, is that people would walk by this one day, Brother Deacon, and say, "You know, there used to be a good church there. There used to be a church right here." And to have it die under my leadership. God help us. God help us. God help me, but God help us. Why? Because it's our church. I know it's His, but it's our church. We make it up. And so how can we keep that from happening? How can we keep that from saying there used to be a church here? And here's the body of the message. Five quick points. Number one, a revival of proper spiritual priorities. A revival of proper spiritual priorities. Look at verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2 with me, if you would. He says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, and hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Listen, this church at Ephesus, Jesus Christ had a lot of good things to say about it. It was a busy church. It was an active church. They were doing things for Christ. Amen? But their motive was wrong. You know what I think about when I think about this story? I think about the story in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42 about Mary and Martha. Remember them? Wonderful sisters, had a brother named Lazarus whom Jesus raised from the dead, and Jesus had been off refreshed. Remember, Mary was prepared, or Martha was preparing the meal and working. And listen, you ladies know all about that, amen. Working hard, making sure all that's done. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha came to Jesus and said, "Would you tell my sister to help me? I'm laboring, I'm working here." And Jesus said to her, He said, "Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about many things. But Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away." Listen, He wasn't chiding Martha for serving. He just said, it can wait. I won't be here long. Spend time with me. Listen, there's work to be done, folks. Amen. In a church this size, there's work to be done. Lots of it. But you know what? If we're going to keep people from saying there was once a church there, it'll have to start with a revival of spiritual priorities. Jesus said, the first and great commandment is this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And it's hard to do that if you don't spend time with Him.
Yeah.
Come on, church. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Make time for prayer. Make time for His... You're here this morning for church, and I thank God you made time to come. We'll have church tonight. Make time to come. To hear about Him. Make time to come on Wednesday night. Bring your children. We have Wednesday programs for the children. Make time to get alone with God. Make time to hear from His Word. If we're going to keep this from happening here at Loomis Park Baptist Church... And by the way, I see no danger of that happening. But then again, they probably didn't see any danger in Ephesus. It was a good church. Brother Deere, it was the kind of church you and I would join. We'd belong to the Church of Ephesus. They were doing stuff for God. But their priorities got out of whack. And you know what? That can happen to you and I. And it's happened to me. Where I've gotten priorities out of whack. And just serving out of duty, 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 duty. And eventually that wears out. Fall in love with Jesus all over again. Amen. A revival of spiritual priorities. Number two. A recalling of our first love. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Anybody remember what first love was like? I tell you, just being in love that early. I remember, listen, Carrie and I, oh my goodness, we would talk on the phone for hours, Miss Judy. I mean, just hours and hours and we'd owe Ma Bell a fortune. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is back when phones had cords. You couldn't just go wherever you wanted and end up hogtied like this. Amen. I'll call you back next week. I got to get out of this. Amen. And I just couldn't wait till Sunday. I loved the sound of her voice. I still do, by the way. Praise God. Still do. I couldn't wait to talk to her, and I couldn't wait to listen to her. That's first love. Amen. Remember when you first got saved? I'll tell you what, I'm going to talk a lot about that tonight, so I'll not dwell long. I'm aware of the time here, but remember when you first got saved and you just, all you knew was that Jesus loved you and you loved Him. Hey, let's get back to that. Let's return here to our first love. Oh, we could go on and on about this. A revival of proper spiritual priorities. A recalling of first love. A recalling of first love. Remember, He says, listen, you've left your first love. And here's the thing. He didn't leave us. We left Him. And you know where He is? Right there where you left Him. Right there where you left Him. He's there. Number three, and I'm hastening here. Returned to our first works. Return to our first works. Revival of spiritual priorities, recalling of first love, a return to our first works. Look at verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Christianity does have some do in it. Just not to get saved. Just not to get saved, amen. What He has done will save us, amen. We receive the gift of God. We ask Christ to save us and forgive us of our sins, and He does, amen. But then, He says, do the first works. Can I give you, in a nutshell, the purpose of the church? Are these here's the first works. Here they are. Evangelize, educate, edify, encourage. Evangelize, amen. We are to give the gospel to those that don't have it. That is our main duty. But then also, not only evangelize, educate. After you get saved, you should be able to come into a church and be taught the Bible. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but listen, if you will not get to church to get taught the Bible, you will not grow. I can tell you this about Loomis Park Baptist Church. I thank God for it. I believe it's why the candlesticks burning bright is because we teach the Bible here every service. If you come in here preaching, you'll still get a lot of teaching. If you come to Brother Becker's Sunday school class, you'll get great teaching. Amen. If you come to my Sunday school class, you'll get the Bible. Amen. And you come to Pastor Donald's class, you'll get craziness. Amen. But you'll get a lot of teaching of the Bible as well. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, not only evangelize, but educate. Make up your mind, if you're a young Christian, if you're a guest or a visitor here today, make up your mind, I'm going to get in that church and learn the Bible. Nobody learns the Bible all in one shot. Come on. Some people in this room have been saved 50 and 60 years and are still learning. There's a whole lot they don't know about the Bible. Amen. Thank God. God wrote it. Amen. But evangelize, educate, edify. You know what edify means? To build up. Amen. One of my jobs as the pastor here is to build you up. Amen. To build. Hey, by the way, sometimes, just like in the core, Brother Merrill, got to tear you down a little bit to build you up. Yep. Come on now. Amen. Wounding not just to wound, but wounding to heal. Getting in that area where you may have sin in your life and cleaning out that infection, that hurts. But then it'll heal. Sometimes the pastor has to do that. So we edify and we encourage. Oh, if there's anything I want people to say about me when I pass off this scene is, you know what, Pastor Rich was a Barnabas. He was an encourager. He was somebody that just encouraged you to live for God and serve God. Hey, that's the first works of the church. That's why a lot of churches go out of business. They're missing all four of those. Or they're missing three out of four. Maybe they're just encouraged, but they don't edify. They don't educate. They don't preach the Bible. Amen. They don't evangelize. The church that doesn't evangelize will fossilize. And that's what's happening to most churches. Amen. And that's why you need to have gospel tracts on your person. You need to be soul conscious. You need to care about your neighbor. You need to care about your coworker. Amen. Whether they're going to hell. You need to care about that family member. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, remember, he says there, return to the first works. Return to the first works. Recall our first love. Revival of spiritual priorities. Number four, oh, and I love this. I love this. Verse 6. It's a strange verse, and I'm going to go quickly here. It says, but this thou hast. Remember, he's talking to this church. He bragged on them, and then he kind of cut them down a little bit because they had left their first love. But then he says in verse 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. This was a group. Oh, it was all about self and rights and all that. And boy, I'll tell you what, I could preach all day on the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. But here's number four. Here's point number four. How can we keep them from saying there used to be a church here? How can we prevent the loss of a church? A refusal to magnify petty differences. Amen. A refusal to magnify petty differences. It doesn't mean that we don't have differences. It doesn't mean that we don't have different personalities and traits and all that. But what it means is, Jesus said, look, you hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. I'm with you. I was talking to Brother Stephen Russ this week, and we're just talking about some things going on in fundamentalism as a whole. And I said, we're so fractured, and I'll tell you why. We're so divisive with one another. We're so divisive. If you don't believe just like me down to the last jot and the last tilde, then brother, we're not having any fellowship. That's wrong. That's wrong. Listen, you can hold a different position on when the church began. I mean, you could say, if you want to say it began with Jesus or when He breathed on the Holy Ghost, that's fine. If you want to be right with God, it started at Pentecost. Right. Some of you got that one. Amen. Right. Listen, did the church start?
Yes.
Is the church here?
Yes.
That's good enough.
Amen.
That's good enough. And let's let independent Baptist pastors teach the church, amen, about that. But listen to me, don't magnify petty differences. I've said this so many times, and I know you probably get sick of it, but where love is thick, faults are thin, and where love is thin, faults are thick. If there's a reason why a lot of churches aren't in existence anymore. Brother Ewald, there was this little difference and two people couldn't get over it. And the next thing you know, they started biting and devouring and it spread through the whole congregation. And you had the faction that was with this brother and you had the faction that was with this brother. And now you got Second Baptist Church and Third Baptist Church and Fourth Baptist Church and Fifth Baptist Church. That means they've had four splits, by the way. You go to a church and there's a Tenth Baptist Church, run for cover. That means they've had a lot of splits. Hey, I don't want them to say one day about Loomis Park Baptist Church, there used to be a church here. How can we prevent it? Revival of proper spiritual priorities. Recalling of our first love. Return to our first works. Refusal to magnify petty differences. And then lastly, number 5, look at verse 7 with me, church. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I tell you what the key is to this church going on till the rapture is this, a reverence for what God says. Amen. What's He say? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'll close with this. Charles Finney, incredible preacher, touched by God. Many said of Finney, they literally, like Peter, Brother Horst, they just wanted his shadow to pass by them. He had so much of the power of God. And just led a revival through New York State, of which they have been writing about ever since. Finney said this. Now think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Think about this. Finney said this. Revival is the renewal of the first love of Christians. Revival is nothing less than a new beginning of obedience to God, a breaking of heart and a deep humility and forsaking of sin. A revival breaks the power of the world and of sin over Christians. You know what? I could sum that up in one statement. Do what God says. Do what God says. But today, if you try to find the church of Ephesus, you may be able, Brother Howard, to find one of the ruins of the pillars. But that's it. I remember growing up in Holyoke, Massachusetts. I'll close with this illustration. I grew up in Holyoke, Massachusetts, 30 miles, no, not even 20 miles north of where Jonathan Edwards preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God in 1741 in Enfield, Connecticut, where people literally grabbed onto the pillars of the church because they thought hell was going to swallow them up. He didn't preach loud either. Brother Butler, he read his manuscript. That's all. He read it like this. Didn't move. Power of God. Jonathan Edwards pastored in Northampton, Massachusetts. Went into the church, Brother Merrill, unbelievable. High back pews, all carved, beautiful. Bust of Jonathan Edwards on the wall. His verse in Malachi, I think it's Malachi 1:7. He turned many unto righteousness. And outside that church, just a bunch of miscreants and hippies and just out there smoking, drinking. Nobody ever goes inside the church anymore. What happened? There used to be a church there. There used to be a church there. But they got disinterested in what God is interested in. May that never be said of Loomis Park Baptist Church. Hey, we need to get our hearts right from time to time, but let's always stay interested in what God is interested in. Father,